Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, April 9th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Some critics say President Robert Mugabe's succession remains unresolved despite holding a meeting on Thursday with war veterans.
This was just a meeting that did not go deep to address the root cause of the problem. It was just a public relations exercise.
Farmers are expected to hold a critical meeting with stakeholders next week on cash challenges. And as usual, we'll give you some details on the women's issues. Some critics say President Robert Mugabe's succession remains unresolved despite holding a meeting on Thursday with war veterans. The critics say the meeting mostly focused on the welfare of the war veterans instead of President Robert Mugabe's succession, which has caused an internal strife in the ruling party. Two groups, one allegedly led by First Lady Grace Mugabe and another by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, are fighting for the control of the party. Mrs. Mugabe and Mr. Mnangagwa are believed to be harboring presidential ambitions, though they have in the past dismissed these suggestions as baseless. For perspective on the war veterans' this meeting with the president and Mr. Mugabe's succession conflicts, Studio 7 reached Kazira Chirumanzu, a ZANU-PF activist and independent political commentator Charles Mutasa. Chirumanzu says succession issues are a creation of the media.
There is no faction, there is no one in ZANU-PF who claims to be a leader of a certain faction.
Yeah, the issue is not the absence of unity. It is the absence of a succession plan. That is why.
Yeah, but this succession plan, but Comrade Mutasa, this succession plan is brought for discussion by outside the media, by foreigners. But this succession plan is not within ZANU-PF. And this is why I am saying, if that succession plan or debate or issues are discussed within ZANU-PF, can the media mention one person who is leading any of those factions?
Now, in this case, let's have Mr. Mutasa saying something right now about this
right
issue. Quiet, Mr. Mutasa.
The media has mentioned very clearly that there are factions, the G40, La Costa, and so forth. And can you tell us why there are mass suspensions if everything is well in the party? Are they not being suspended because they are alleged to be aligned to a certain function?
No. That issue maybe can be debated with the National Disciplinary Committee. There is nothing like succession issue within ZANU-PF. This is something that is brought in by people who do not understand how ZANU-PF works. Like I said, all is simply said in the media, not within ZANU-PF structures. This is why you find that everyone is behind President Mugabe as the leader of ZANU-PF. And he was chosen at the previous Congress.
Are you saying that this meeting has been convened because of the way the media is reporting about the party?
No. The ex-combatant wanted to meet their patron. It has got nothing to do with the media. But otherwise, there was a press conference where the media was invited and told that on such a day, we are going to meet the patron. Not that the media invented or told them the war veterans went to meet their patron. And this is why the patron even suggested that they must have these meetings annually.
And now, Mr. Mutasa, do you think that the factionalism is going to end after this meeting? After the president appealed? Yeah?
It will not end, because what Mr. Chiwota is not explaining is why were people keen to demonstrate before we had this? The war veterans wanted to demonstrate and they were tear gas. Is that the media who caused them to demonstrate, or they themselves felt that they were being sidelined and there were issues of factionalism?
So is it going to end or not, this factionalism?
It will not end. It will go on. This was just a meeting that did not go deep to address the root cause of the problems. It was just a public relations exercise, which will not take the party anyway.
Your last word, Mr. Chirumanzu?
No, well, like I said earlier on, I think as from this minute, everyone who is a member of ZANU-PF definitely will adhere to the ideology of the party.
And Mr. Mdasa?
I think if wishes were horses, beggars will ride. That's what we can say about Mr. Chihotai's wishes.
Mr. Chirumas.
Chirumas, rather.
Do you have anything to say, Mr. Chirumas?
Well, like I said, well, ZANU-PF is a revolutionary party. It has seen lots of, you know, machinations within its structures. But I can assure you, it has always been surviving. Remember, we've got these sanctions, but this is now history. It's now water under the bridge. And we are moving forward, marching forward as ever through the leadership of President Mugabe.
That was Katsira Chirumanzu, a ZANU-PF activist. You also heard Charles Mutasa, an independent political commentator, speaking with Studio 7.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month, we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. The 18th of April, 1980, was a significant moment celebrated by millions of people, including the late great Bob Nesta Marley, on Independence Day in Harare. 'Cause that's the only way. What are your thoughts of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Send us your thoughts on our WhatsApp number, 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Some farmers' unions are expected to hold a meeting with the Central Bank Tobacco Industry Marketing Board and other stakeholders on Monday to discuss difficulties in obtaining cash after selling this year's tobacco. The farmers say a new system in which they are paid through banks is not working properly as they spend many hours queuing for money at banks due to serious cash shortages. Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union Director Jeremiah Tebera tells Studio 7's reporter Jonga Kandemiri they want this matter to be settled as soon as possible.
As the representative of farmers, we had advocated for a transparent manner in which information from the RBZ and TIMB was supposed to be shared. Then we put up our own opinions. Then they were supposed to come back with the answers to those issues, whether they were addressed in the best interest of the farmers and everyone else, but that did not happen. And the problems we were afraid of occurring are the ones which are now obtaining in the market for tobacco. Farmers are failing to access their cash on time. The charges are still there. No interest will be earned by those accounts. We are quite sure of that. So what we want is to engage them again on Monday next week and find a way forward. We have invited the officials from the Ministry of Agriculture, Finance, Banking Association of Zimbabwe, as well as farmers representative organizations and tobacco growers associations, so that we look at this matter together with the TIMB as the authority and find a solution and way forward.
How was this arrangement reached at? Were you not involved from the onset?
When we were first invited on the 11th of March by TIMB, TIMB gave us proposal from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. And we gave our sentiments to those proposals, but we were not given the opportunity now to hear what the RBZ said. Instead, what we went on to realize was that RBZ and TIMB went on to release a press statement, which was kind of a directive to all tobacco farmers to open accounts with banks if they would want to sell their tobacco.
Who has called for this Monday meeting?
Right, this is an initiative of all farmers' unions. We spoke about together.
That was Jeremiah Tebera, director of the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union, on the phone from Harare with reporter Chonga Kandemiri.
Hello there. To mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary, Studio 7 will be giving out solar-powered radios or T-shirts for our lucky winners. Simply invite 10 friends to join our VOA Studio 7 Facebook page. Ask them to like our page. Keep their names so we can verify your claim. also be running a daily competition for lucky winners. You only need to answer a simple question about Zimbabwe's independence. The draw will be conducted April 18th, Independence Day. Don't be left out.
And today's question is, how many heroes are buried at the National Heroes Acre? Former Deputy Indigenization and Youth Minister Tongai Matutu says it is difficult for Zimbabwe to force young people who obtained loans under the National Youth Fund to repay the money as they are linked to the ruling party. Youth and Indigenization Minister Patrick Juao has been appealing to the youth to repay the money in order to enable others to benefit from the fund, which was set up under Zimbabwe's Black Economic Empowerment Program. Matutu tells Studio 7's reporter Tatenda Kumbo, it is unlikely that the youth would repay the loans.
If we are going to look at the criteria that was used to disperse these funds, most of these funds were actually dispersed like they were actually meant for a particular political party, especially youth that support ZANU-PF. They were the people who were actually giving out most of these loans, and it's quite very clear in that maybe about 500,000 was disbursed to Matebelele South, and the another 500,000 went to Machona Central, almost a million went to Manicaland. And these funds were disbursed either at rallies or at community ownership schemes launch, which was quite a very clear way of making sure that there was a partisan way of distributing this money.
And Mr. Matutu, what's the way forward in your view? Is there any way to mitigate the situation? Because as it seems, millions of dollars are still yet to be repaid. That should have been in a revolving fund to assist other youth who wanted to take part in this youth fund.
It's quite very clear. This youth, they borrowed this money under the pretext that they were going to conduct the business. And once they have defaulted, naturally they should be treated as bad debtors, and actually proceeding must be instituted to recover that money. Most of these youth, if not all of them, have actually signed loan agreement forms. So what is now difficult is now to simply pursue. We must either engage debt collectors or we must actually engage lawyers to actually pursue these people.
That was Tongai Matutu, former Deputy Indigenization and Youth Minister, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Nigeria is a diverse country with a large and assertive civil society, a rich culture, and huge potential. It is a country with an almost boundless capacity for economic growth, and the United States wants Nigeria to succeed. That is why the United States and Nigeria just relaunched the U.S.-Nigeria Binational Commission with a high-level strategic dialogue in Washington designed to expand mutual cooperation across a broad range of shared interests. The United States, said Secretary of State John Kerry at the Commission's most recent meeting in late March, is encouraged that under new President Muhammadu Buhari, Nigeria has made a commitment to diversify its economy. Secretary Kerry then announced that this year, U.S. aid to Nigeria will top $600 million. A significant portion of this money will go toward halting the misery that is spread by HIV/AIDS, by malaria, and by TB. More funding will go towards strengthening Nigeria's energy sector through President Obama's Power Africa initiative, and the Feed the Future program will help improve agricultural efficiency and raise rural incomes. Together, said Secretary of State Kerry, we will work to address humanitarian and development needs, especially in the country's north, where the lack of opportunity has been holding people back, and where the terrorist organization Boko Haram has murdered thousands and disrupted the lives of millions. Thus, the United States will support Nigeria's efforts to once and for all defeat Boko Haram and to eliminate the conditions that have seen the genesis of this terrorist group and that aid its recruitment and operations. These include effective governance, the creation of good jobs, and the elimination of corruption. Our purpose, said Secretary of State Kerry, is to map out the next steps for cooperation in all of those areas where we need it. This doesn't transform things overnight. But, he said, it moves us steadily forward. It creates momentum in the right direction, and that is good for Nigeria. It's good for the United States, and frankly, if we can get this right, that will really make a difference to the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we're gladly joined by Daphne Kanoti, a former war veteran. Mrs. Kanoti, who herself is a woman ex-combatant, will be taking us through her journey when she left Zimbabwe and went to fight alongside other war veterans in Mozambique. Can you tell us about how you joined the liberation struggle?
I was 15 and a half when I went to Mozambique. I just felt that, I mean, there was this wave where everybody felt, I mean, something is not right in this country. We are oppressed. The purpose was to get a gun, then come back and fight the enemy. When I went, I was trained late 1976. Then moved to Chimoyo after training. I was at the youth base where I was a teacher. I mean, like a crash teacher, something like that. So, 1977, where we were bombed. There was an attack, the Chimoyo attack in 1977 in November. We were attacked. And then after the Chimoyo attack, I moved to Mzingazi, where we also attacked. Then after the Mzingazi attack, I went to Shashai with other female comrades with the weaponry. Then after that, I went back to Chimoyo, where I was chosen to go to meet the president.
Why were you chosen and the others to go and stay with the president? And also, do you think that you are receiving the same recognition as those others that went to stay with you with the president?
When I was living with the president, we were about, I mean, five comrades. It was myself, Comrade Tonderai, then Comrade Gwena, then Comrade Mudzimba, Comrade Nerera. We were living with the president. And out of all those, Comrade Tonderai is in the States, and the other three male comrades, Comrade Nerera, went to Canada as a diplomat and then came back and is now heading to one of the president's departments. And then Comrade Mudzimba went to Angola is an ambassador. And prior to that, I think he had been posted to New York, if I remember well. Then we've got Comrade Kwainona. He's still working as a chief security officer to the president. What really upsets me is all those comrades, the president supported them by posting them to different diplomatic missions. I went to use it to do a degree in social work. And I felt I would also be posted or to be promoted, but I couldn't get all that until I decided to leave the organization in 2000.
Do you feel that your contribution towards the war is now being recognized years later, 36 years later, as, you know, of 18 April next week?
I never received, the recognition I thought I would receive, just like, what other comrades I was living with together with the president. Because, the ones I've mentioned, they are happy and content because of what the president has done to them, unlike myself. And I don't know why, up to now, I tried to see the president in 1997 just to tell him that I still exist and I've done ABCD. And can't I also get an upward mobility or to get a posting? And the president did say to me, okay, I'll look into it. And that was that. Until 2000, I just got fed up and left the organization. I think of all the comrades who lived with the president, I think I got the raw deal, and I'm still getting the raw deal.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Daphne Kanoti, a former war veteran, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.